This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Vayner Nation, how are you? Our continued tour of having some nice 20-minute chats with some interesting people around the world continues. Today we're here with Tunde. I'm going to let her explain her origin and context for you, and then I've got a bunch of fun questions. I'm hopeful everybody's super well. I know a lot of my podcast content recently has been recordings from different talks and events because I've been super busy, but I really wanted to get this one in because I think this is a subject matter and a genre that really resonates with this audience. One, from a place where this audience is in a continued path of health and wellness, both mentally and physically. Two, entrepreneurship. Three, trends. Four, social media. Five, tenacity and ambition. So I think this extraordinary woman, at least from what I know from afar, that I've been, you know, I always keep my eye on everything. So I'm excited to jam with her. We haven't been able to jam in the past, so we'll do it here. And Tunde, I'm really glad you're here.
Oh my God, if you're glad, then what am I? I'm so glad. I'm super excited to be here. I mean, I don't even know how to kick it off. My name is Tunde Oyinane. I'm a Peloton instructor, Nike athlete. I just wrote my first book, memoir manifesto, titled Speak, Find Your Voice, Trust Your Gut, and Get From Where You Are to Where You Want to Be. I am so wildly aware of what it means to be in this space of wellness and health right now, specifically as a Black woman living in this space with this platform, and I'm super fortunate. Everybody keeps asking, why the book, why the book, why'd you write the book right now? My life has been filled with so much uncertainty and so much doubt. Mm. And I think that there's been so much uncertainty and so much doubt specifically within the last 2 years. Mm. And ultimately, I think that as people, we are all very, very different. White, Black, tall, short, woman, man, other, they. I feel that we are also different, but we are more alike than we are different. And when we're vulnerable enough to share our stories and allow people to see us in a true human level, we're able to realize that we are more alike than we are different. And so that's why the book. That's why I love that. This moment of uncertainty. Yeah.
Take me under the veil, right? Like to that next deeper level, just like fun, almost like if we had been best friends for 20 years. Like, had you always wanted to write a book, or did a couple years ago when you started having momentum, you're like, wait a minute, I'm gonna write a book? Do you think of it from a status, a springboard? Do you like, get me into, you know, I think a lot of what you just said was incredibly selfless. Like, I think you took it very macro, and I get excited about that. Everything good for me is happening because of a selfless track. Mm-hmm. And then because mm-hmm. I'm a human being, back to all of us being human beings, there's always selfish tracks. And I always think for me, what's worked is my selfish stuff is micro, my selfless is macro. And that's why I think things work. And I think most people are reverse. I think most people are incredibly selfish with a little hint of selfless. Back to your point, I love you already for saying we're more the same than different. I am so pissed at the world right now because we've decided to become obsessed with our 20% differences instead of happy for our 80% same across the board. And so like, I really resonate with what you said there. And that's kind of, by the way, how I think about selfless, selfish. I think the reason I'm Gary V and so much is going on is very few people actually genuinely, no bullshit, not on a podcast like this or on fucking social, but in real life, get a high from helping others win or winning with them. That's not because I'm awesome. That's because I got lucky with DNA and lucky with a crazy mother, and that became my life. That's who I am. I just actually like when my homies win, with strangers win, because I'm gonna get mine regardless. So why not let everybody else win? And so I've got that framework, which allows me to be who I am. But I actually wanna start, because I think you have a lot of that good stuff, which is why I wanted you on the show, because I'm selective. But I actually want to go a little bit, which might be a little uncomfortable for you based on how you roll, but I want this because I want to inspire people who are listening, who like the selfish part, meaning just the little girl that you were, right? The little girl that you are right now, how crazy does it feel to have a book? Was that a big thing or was that a small thing? Because I think some people, it's like the biggest thing they've always wanted. Other people, they're like, it's like, it's not even that big of a deal. It's part of the process. And there's no right or wrong. There's just our own journeys. Like for me, and I'll just set you up one last point and then you'll go. For me, by far the best part of being a five-time New York Times bestselling author is that all my English teachers in junior high and high school who gave me D's and F's in English have to think it's the funniest fucking thing that I've got this many successful. But to me, that's the most fun part. The first one was for my mom. The rest have been about laughing with my teachers. And it's a continuation of me spreading my message because not everybody consumes social media content. Some people consume, books and I'm always trying to do what's right for the consumer.
Wow. To answer one point of your question, it's pretty fucking wild. It's pretty fucking wild to me to be in this space right now. That said, the selfish part of me, in third grade, I said that I was going to write a book. I didn't even know what story I was going to tell, but I knew that there was a story that I had to tell. I saw it and I knew it for myself. Now, I dropped out of college with a year left. I knew, I wanted to write this book. The world told me that I couldn't write a book because I didn't know where to put the apostrophe or the period, or I didn't know what a conjunction was or when the run-on sentence needed to end, right? And so I allowed fear to steer. I allowed fear to hold me hostage and tell me that you couldn't do this one thing. I think it was last year I spoke at both Howard University and Princeton University, two of the most prestigious universities in this country. And within that moment, being on that stage, saying to myself, you were doing this without the degree. What else can you do in spite of the degree? What were your wildest dreams? I had this wild, crazy vision like 4 years ago after my very first cycling class. I knew that I would be cycling for the rest of my life. To take it a step further, I also knew that I'd be an instructor. And again, after my very first cycling class and without knowing what Peloton even was, I knew that I would be able to impact the lives of hundreds of thousands of millions of people by virtue of a cycling bike. I knew it, and I knew it with certainty. That being said, when I went in for my interview, I remember it was like this crazy long interview process. I met with like 12 people. One of those people was Robin Arzon. She's the head instructor and VP of fitness at Peloton. I said to her, if you give me this job, if you grant me this opportunity, I know that my mission is to speak. I know that my mission is to share my story. I was overweight growing up. I had literally zero confidence, a very low self-esteem. I was the person who didn't laugh loud because I felt like if I laugh, I'd draw attention to myself. And if I drew attention to myself, people would see my size. If you've taken a class with me, I love to dance on the bike. I didn't dance then because if I danced, people would see me. And I felt like they saw me. I couldn't shrink myself. I couldn't hide myself.
What do you think was the seed to start the reversal? What you're talking about now is what I spend secretly all my time with on my community, which is trying to reverse engineer who made them insecure or what made them insecure and get into a place of realizing everyone else has shortcomings too. Start the process of loving yourself, because then you can be kind. Once you're kind to yourself, you can be kind to others and the whole thing starts to roll. What do you think was the seed that started your process from that level of insecurity?
I'm first generation American. My parents immigrated here from Nigeria. And if you know anything about Nigerians or Texans, I grew up in Texas, we like to eat. We like to eat food, a lot of it. And so I'll rewind and say I grew up in a primarily white neighborhood. And so I didn't look like the other girls. My skin is dark. Yep. I was fuller figured. And so I was othered. I was in this othered category for so many reasons. I grew up thinking that I didn't fit in because I looked different than everybody else, because I wasn't the same size of everyone else. Ultimately, I realized that when I lost the weight, I thought that because I lost weight, people started being my friends or the world started taking to me. I realized
when did that happen?
I mean, this is, we're probably talking like high school, but I
really want to go here because I think we're about to help a ton of fucking people. So I'm fired up. What year in high school?
I lost most of the weight between 9th and 10th grade, the summer going to 10th grade.
Go back to that girl if you can. You might not remember, which is super fair. what do you think got you to switch the momentum? Like,
Yeah, I have the full story. I was supposed to be a bridesmaid in my aunt's wedding. And there was this, honestly, it was a really ugly, like a terribly, hideously ugly dress that my aunt wanted us to wear, cap sleeves. Blue was my favorite color. This dress was an insult to the color blue. So we get to the bridal store. They don't make the dress in my size. Like, not that they're out of my size. The designer doesn't carry the dress in my size. My right. aunt offers to buy a much more beautiful dress for me. I say no. My mother's pissed off. She says she's paying for this and it looks better. Let her do this for you. I said no because I knew that in that moment that if I were to walk down the aisle in a different dress, everybody would know that I was the one who couldn't fit into the other dress. I remember my first like moment of recognizing that my size was a problem for other people. I was in third grade and we were going around all, you know, some guy, some Brian, I think is his name. He said, how much does everybody weigh? And this is the age where you don't know that it's not appropriate yeah. to ask people their weight. And so everyone's going around and I say that I was 116 pounds. Again, this is in third grade. I was the only one in the hundreds. The entire group of kids, they gasp. I see the reaction on their face. And in that moment, I made a conscious decision that this was now something that I needed to lie about because I didn't like the reaction that I got from them. And so now you fast forward, I'm in this dressing room, this thing that I
thought I'm hiding. I want to ask you something else. I'm sorry to interrupt. In that moment, how much momentum did you, because everything I'm trying to do is take advantage of this unique moment where I think your voice, not mine, is going to trigger action for a lot of the audience listening right now. So I'm pumped. I'm being selfish for the selflessness of the audience listening.
Yes.
Vayner Nation, do me a favor. Everybody just buy three books. Just buy three copies of this book so that this, for Tunde, this is a great appearance. And she'll be like, holy shit, audio appearance at Gary's podcast is fucking crazy. So I want to lean into this exact moment because I have a funny feeling 1 to 79 people's lives is about to change. So before I run out of time with her, I want to deliver for her. So first, Vayner Nation, please step up. I'm sure it's on Amazon and all those other places. Make sure you find this book. She'll repeat the name multiple times at the end. Let's do that to blow her away with her Amazon rank. I know a lot of you have a lot of people you can gift it to. It would mean a lot to me. Let's put it that way. If you bought three copies and shared. Now I want to go back to the moment where I think we're going to change someone's life. Today, I think I want to know something very specific. That's the moment that you can tell your story. Like, that's the trigger. You can remember that was the moment. And I assume that started the process. Clearly it did, of the weight loss. I have a very profound question. How much momentum did you have in your brain in the prior, let's call it 9th to 10th grade, 3 years leading up to that moment? Was it a, were you getting close and this was just a trigger point? Like, you were kind of like, this is going to be my summer, or probably here would make a lot of sense, that 8th grade summer going into 9th grade. I'm sure you had all sorts of thoughts in your mind that summer because you're like, I'm going to high school. I don't know if that's how you guys did it in high school in Texas. 9th to 12th is how we did it in Jersey. Like, that's a big summer yeah. of transformation. I'm sure you probably had some thoughts. If 3rd grade this started, by that 8th grade summer, you probably in 7th and 8th grade said to yourself, that summer is going to be the one I'm going to crush and go into high school. This is now the next summer. Was it a gradual build or was it such a singular moment that it was like, boom? Or was it like you were starting to get close, you were pumping yourself up, you're talking to yourself, you're getting dangerously close, and that was the trigger? Which one? Ice cold switch or a gradual switch?
It was a gradual switch. It was a gradual switch. It was this thing where I realized I could either love to learn, I can learn to love this thing about me, or I can change it. But I was done with where I was. I'm going to change this thing, or I'm going to learn to love this thing because the in-between no longer served me.
Let's talk about that because that is profound. What's your intuition since you've been on this journey and with the book and everything, whether it is weight, whether it is, by the way, I want everybody to pay attention very, because there's a lot of people here who've never had a second of thought about weight. I want everybody to hear what we're actually talking about. Men, when did you decide not being 6'2" was gonna be okay? Men and women, when did you decide not making $250,000 a year was going to be okay? A mole on your face, how athletically inclined you are, your relationship with your siblings not as good as other people's relationship with siblings, and you, you know, all of us, there's not a person listening right now. We're going to use the proxy of Tunde's, you know, weight, but she just said something that's profound. The concept of the accountability through action or through mental action of either changing the thing that's pissing you off, which with weight, there's a process. I'm not so sold that somebody who's 5'6" as a male can, you know, I'm sure there's operations now that can make you 6'2", but that's probably a little harder, which is why I actually think the point you just said is even more profound. It's amazing for people to get into better health physically and mentally. There's so many people in my life right now that I just wish and I continue to try to inspire to do therapy because it would be profound for them. But the point you just said about I'm going to learn to love myself in this physical condition or I'm going to change this physical condition is pretty profound because the first part, learning to love myself within this framework, is everything.
You know what, Gary, it could even be changing your perspective on it. I love
that is what you're talking about.
Right. And you know, it's, I'm going to take it a step further. We're talking about the short guy, or the person with the mole, or the person who has curly hair and wants straight hair. I lost half of my immediate family within 6 years. So I lost my little brother, my dad, and my mom all within 6 years of each other. I hit my lowest low 3 times back to back. I made the decision to stay low because the whole world would have been okay. People would have said, Tunde's been through a lot. Her joy is missing. She's changed. She's not the same. It's okay. Have you seen what she's been through? Have you heard what she's gone through? I could have chosen to stay there. But instead, I made the decision to recognize that I don't get to choose what comes at me, but I do get to choose how I react. Today's 100. A new day. I choose to show up new in this day. And so I chose to live because they can't live. I chose 100. To change my perspective on it versus getting comfortable.
You're in charge of the next scene of your movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I'm very similar to you in that. I've been very fortunate in reverse, but I'm 46 years old. I have a real sense of myself. I just don't. Somebody said, a real close friend to me the other day who's super progressive, and I'm pretty progressive, but like off the reservation. And they said, you know what, Gary? You're too positive. This is somebody I really know. I'm like, and I knew where they were going with it. I was like, go ahead. Yes, my friend, go ahead. Well, like, not everything's fucking positive. I'm like, okay, keep going. And what was interesting, because I don't want to take up too much time, was as we played mental chess with each other, the punchline was, okay, then choose to be negative. For me, it's like I understand, but don't tell me that I'm not allowed to be practical and optimistic, and you're allowed to be cynical and pessimistic.
Right.
I'm not. You're trying to impose your positivity on me. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm like, as a matter of fact, you're trying to impose your cynicism on me. You're gaslighting me in reverse. I'm just talking my fucking truth. You're talking your truth. You're allowed. And this is where the whole mic drop moment had. I said, brother, and it ended amazing. We were very close. I said, there's just a problem for you. This is a real close person to me. He said, what's that? I said, positivity always beats negativity.
Hmm.
And then I said, you're just confused right now because negativity is having a good run in the middle of the game.
Hmm. Here's the way I see it. We're all the gatekeepers to our own peace. We're all the gatekeepers 100%. To our own peace. 100%. Like you can let shit in or you can choose to block it at the door. So yeah.
Good for you. I'm so sorry you had to go through that chapter, but tell me, you know what? I've got a great question. Where do you sit on balancing, wanting to inspire others to see it your way because you know it's good, balanced with compassion because you know how hard it is, right? So this is very powerful for me, and I have a feeling you're going to understand this. I have so much appetite for everyone to see this perspective. Like, you can have good. Everything in your life can be bad, and you can turn it into good in a minute if you decide to turn your head the other way, right?
Right.
While I'm empathetic, like, fuck. Easy for me to say because I got there and I got there early. It's a journey to get there. That's some hard ass work. The world's not telling you this shit. Where do you sit with that? as someone who has the strength, we're just 10 seconds in and you've given me two examples already in your life that are profound hills to climb. Physical appearance looking different, data, the death of the people closest to you. So you've got some real inner strength. Things happened. You got luxury DNA, luxury parenting. You did your own work, all the good ingredients that have to get to somebody there. Where do you sit with trying to inspire, especially with this book and your personal brand, while having capacity to be compassionate, that it's not that easy and it's going to take some time?
I'll say a couple of things. Echoes of the past inform the future. Echoes of the past inform the future. Every moment, every misstep, every missed opportunity has led me to this moment. I trust that nothing is happening for me, or rather nothing is happening to me, and everything is happening for me. Nothing's happening to me. It's all happening in my favor. So when it doesn't go my way, it's going my way. Now to the person who doesn't see that, I always say the truth will reveal itself when you are ready to see it. I wasn't ready to see it at one point or one moment in my life. So I'm not gonna rush you along this journey. But when you get from point A to point B, do yourself a favor, pause, look back at all the breadcrumbs that you dropped along the way and notice that each moment connected to that. The truth will reveal itself when you are ready to see it. I think that what we don't do enough is you work your ass off. You're working really, really, really hard at something, and then the thing comes, and then you say, great, and then you're working toward the next thing, and the thing comes or doesn't come. And then 5 years later, the thing happens, and then you don't take the necessary time to stop and say, wow, when I didn't get that opportunity, look at what resulted from it. When you're able to have gratitude in the things that, or when you're able to look back and find gratitude in the things that didn't go your way, then in the future, when things don't go your way again, you know to trust the process. You have data that shows it's always working in your favor.
Do you believe the adversity early on, different third grade story?
1,000%.
You know where I'm about to go?
1,000%. I think that especially being in this world as a fitness instructor, we'll start there. I'm a fitness instructor. It's so easy to say, oh my God, she's fit. Oh my God, she loves working out. Oh my God, greens are her favorite. Like I'm sitting here drinking my green juice or whatever it is, right? Like I know that this is part of the journey. These are the things that I have to do to keep my body feeling strong. But I think that there's a human level, there's a relatability, a connection that I'm able to meet that perhaps some people within the fitness world aren't. I look at somebody who's struggling, who's beginning their journey, where somebody
like,
might
been
look
there.
At, yeah, I don't look at the person and think that they're lazy. I think that they're, I realize that they're in their own way, and I know why, because I was there.
That, to your point, that lazy talk, that's just judgment without context.
Right.
Judgment without context is why the world is struggling right now. Everybody's got all sorts of opinions and it goes every direction. You know, I remind my friends that you're judging a lot. Like everyone's judging everyone without context.
Yeah. I mean, I'll add in the fact that I grew up in a primarily white neighborhood. I didn't really see a lot of black folks until I went to college. And I use that in what I do now. I said it in the beginning, we are all very, very different, but we're more alike than we are different. I think that was part of my upbringing for a reason, to be a bridge between
100%
world.
What are people that buy this book going to get out of it? Like in the most, like this is a very entrepreneurial, very optimistic audience at scale. For this crew, what's your gut tell you?
I wrote this book for anyone who is looking to move from this space, the moment that you're in right now, maybe it's filled with doubt. Maybe you're not sure which direction to take next. Relationship, career, friendships, self. If you're open to, if you have the audacity, if you're curious enough to move even an inch in another direction, curious enough, then this book is for you.
Mm, I love it. What's been the most flattering? Don't deploy humility here. Like, tell us, because I'm trying to get some scoops. What's been the most
people that have?
No, I got a good one. What is, by the way, I adore you. You are so like me. You're so intuitive. Right? I see it in you. It makes me smile so much because I do it so much and it pisses people off because I'm always cutting them off or answering questions before they ask it. You're so intuitive. Like, I love it. I love it. Please email me after this. Let's get to know each other.
Absolutely.
What is the single most flattering thing that was told to you about the book so far? Like, who gave you the compliment? Was it a tweet from someone? Was it a personal note from someone? Give me the single one that you'll call out right now that has been so far the most flattering one.
The woman who told me that her mother had died this week, the week that she'd opened the book. And she said that the book gave her life. There's a passage where I write a letter to my mother. I write a letter to my mother who's passed in the book. And she related on so many levels. I mean, I couldn't sit here. I talk a lot about the Black Lives Matter movement and yep. The role that I played in 2020 and the people who said that they didn't get it. Black Lives yep. Matter movement, they didn't yep. get it. People who read that passage and now say, I get it. Awesome. I think that when time is said and done, time being like this moment that we're all fortunate enough to share space in together, when this time is said and done, they'll ask us, did you have a hand in its creation, or did you watch as the new world was being created? Did you watch as the new world was being created,
sure.
or did you have a hand in its creation? I want to be able to say that I had a hand in its creation, and it's these moments where you hear how you are able to connect just by your lived experience, by being vulnerable enough to share your lived experience.
Thank you for the 80%, 20% thing. I believe it to my bones. I probably, because I know 80 and 97, it's all the same statement. I just believe it so much. I talk a lot about the color purple. I just feel like America has gone so red and blue. We're so red and blue. And really the answer is purple. And really most people are purple. And now we're being taught subconsciously to go one side or the other. And it's just not right. And then more importantly, just the inspiration to get people to realize they can do something is a real important messenger. I keep saying that positivity has to be louder. And I cheer for positive voices. I'm cheering for you, and I hope you have the best day.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you.